Mr. Frank? Hello?
Yes, it is me.
Go ahead, Mr. Martin.
Hello, Mr. Frank. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
This is Murphy Martin in Dallas.
Yes.
How are you today, sir?
Oh, very well, and you?
Very good, thank you. I sent you some material. Have you received it yet?
Yes. What was it about?
Well, you know, I sent you some material you wanted on the prisoners of war and some background on them.
Oh, no. I haven't received this material.
You haven't received it yet?
Okay.
I thought perhaps that you had. I was hoping that you had.
Oh, I haven't.
Have you completed the processing of your pictures yet? Have you had a chance to send me those?
No, I haven't. I haven't finished my work yet. I think I have another 2 weeks to work with my material.
I see.
For September, I think I will finish the work.
Very good. I thought I would just give you a check since I have been back. I had not heard from you, and I wanted to know if you perhaps had received the material also that I forwarded to you.
No, I have only that material you give me when we met.
I see. Very good. Mr. Frank, there is a report here in the States today about a possible release of prisoners of war in Hanoi next Wednesday, the 2nd of September. I'm wondering if there has been such a report in Sweden.
No.
There has not been?
Nothing.
Nothing there. This report came out of Saigon.
I've only yesterday and servicemen from NLF arrived to Sweden.
From the NLF? You say servicemen from where?
From Vietnam and from NLF.
Oh, I see. Was that Mr. Sweeney?
Was permitted to leave the country, and he arrived yesterday.
Oh, I see. He's the one that you mentioned earlier as having talked with when you were there. Is that the one that you're referring to? Hello?
Yes.
Mr. Sweeney, in other words.
Sweeney is his name.
Yes. Very good. I'm sure that he's happy to be in Stockholm. That's good. You have no knowledge, however, of any additional prisoner releases?
It is no decision yet about it.
No decision yet. Well, is there anything further that we could help you with that perhaps might help in the prisoner of war situation?
Yes, I am interested to...
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Number before 3-0-8-5-3. My number.
That's your number in Stockholm.
It's 2 miles north Stockholm.
You are in Stockholm.
Two and a half miles from Stockholm.
You're 2.5 miles from Stockholm. Well, apparently the lines were crossed, sir. What is your name, sir?
Mr. Palian.
Who were you calling, sir?
Excuse me.
Hello?
Hello?
Who were you calling, sir?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello? Who were you calling, sir?
I'm not calling. You ring to me here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse the ring, please, sir. I'm sorry, we were disconnected earlier. And you were about to say I had asked you if there's anything we could help you with regarding the prisoner of war, and you were about to say something, but I didn't. That's when we were cut off.
No, if you can send me whatever material you can send me, it is of interest.
Right.
I am especially interested to have all documents you have. For instance, I mentioned it from the Senate and from the Congress. If you have any discussions and any questions in the Senate and the Congress, I am very interested to take a look about how the discussion is in your.
Okay. Very good. I will get that now. Have you had any further word on whether we might be included in your Stockholm conference?
No, you see, this question is a little out of the problems, and I think it is much better to handle these cases more out of this conference.
Outside the conference area?
It is necessary to have talks, private talks on this question.
Right.
It cannot be in open session.
Right. Do you think that we need further private talks at the moment?
No, not now. Not now. I will send you a letter after I have received all your materials.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good. Do you think that perhaps you will be going back in October as you had planned? Or do you know yet?
Today, I will know in the beginning of October. I know if it is actual with a new trip.
I see. Now, do you have a transcript yet of your conversations with Mr. Schweitzer and Wilbur and Miller that you could send me?
Yes, but this will be included in my report. So I will send you my report, and after that you will see. You can have it in this report.
Very good. And you think that will be in another week or two?
Yes.
Very good. How is the weather there in Stockholm today?
Oh, nice.
Wonderful. I wish I were there to enjoy it with you.
Yes.
I look forward to seeing you again soon, Mr. Frank.
Yes.
And if we can help you in any way, let us hear from you.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
No problem. No problem.
Aiken Allen, Bird of West Virginia, Irvin, Fulbright, Jackson, Kennedy, Long, McCarthy, McClellan, Pastore, Russell, Yarborough, and Young of Ohio.
Okay. Yarborough, that's funny. He just said he'd do anything he could when we met with him. Is there sometimes they just make a policy, some of these guys just make a policy, they don't sign anything?
Sometimes they do, and sometimes it just doesn't get, you know, it gets caught up in stuff and you don't get an answer.
Right. Okay, real good. Well, so you got 86 and you're going to go with 86?
Right.
Good. How about the other one? What do you see the hopes on that?
I don't know at this point. I really don't.
Okay, do you know
I
when...
I think there might be a little problem there. Result of what's happened recently in terms of prison in South Vietnam.
Yeah. Well, I see the South Vietnamese today closing the camp. They're closing those tiger cages, and they're putting team in there to inspect them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, we'll keep plugging on the other one.
Okay, real good.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Jay.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
How you doing, beautiful?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
How's the world treating you?
I'm nervous always before I just hate this. How did I ever get into it? Godfrey. I got up at 4:30 this morning. You wouldn't believe how foggy it was in New Haven, Connecticut.
Is that right?
I had to take the limousine to New Haven, and then it was so dark in the limousine at one point going through a thunderstorm that I couldn't even see to read my book.
Holy crummy.
But anyway, I made it.
Well, how did it go with the speaker?
Well, it's gonna start this afternoon.
Oh, I thought you already had...
That's why I'm nervous.
I thought you already had a preliminary now.
No.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
No, we're going to meet in at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Good.
So that's why we're here preparing.
Good. Well, you have, Iris said you saw a copy of the letter.
Which one? No, I have not seen
the copy. Iris probably has, and the copy of the letter.
Yeah, well, I just walked in here.
Oh, just walked in the door. Okay, good. Well, that that letter.
Now, is that letter, do we say that, I know very little about it, Tom. Is it a letter that Mr. Perot is having them sign?
I think it's basically the senator signing. I don't think we should say Mr. Perot is having them sign it. And I don't know if you should even announce the letter to the letter. Fully ready to go.
I see.
But what it is a letter.
I see. Here's a copy of it here that Mary Jane just showed me.
Read me the copy you have there, would you?
Okay. His Excellency Pham Van Dong, Premier, Democratic Republic of Vietnam, Hanoi, North Vietnam. Dear Mr. Premier, we, the undersigned members of the United States Senate, feel compelled to personally express our outrage at the persistent callous attitude manifested toward United States personnel missing in action and the inhumane treatment of United States prisoners detained in Southeast Asia. In obvious disregard of human decency, the Democratic Republic of Vietnam continually has refused to adhere to basic humanitarian obligations concerning detained prisoners. As senators, while we have differed over policies pursued by the United States in Southeast Asia, we wish the Democratic Republic of Vietnam to recognize that we are of one mind and one voice in insisting that the United States prisoners be treated in accordance with universal humanitarian principles. It is also our belief that the release of all American prisoners would be a most significant step toward bringing peace in Southeast Asia.
Right, right. That's the one we have.
It's very excellent.
Yeah. Well, we rewrote that thing.
Well, now, does any press know anything about this?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
The whole idea is not to blast it with the press going over there so much, it's just to get each senator to sign this thing and get it over and hand deliver it to an embassy and also send a night letter with it. So to make sure Pham Van Dong gets it and make sure it doesn't go out as a publicity thing, but as an actual letter from the congressman.
Yeah, right.
So that's what we're trying to generate there.
Well,
and 14 senators have not signed it. I think there's a lot of just bureaucratic reasons why some of them, guys like McClellan, Long, and Russell, but people like Kennedy and Fulbright, Fulbright's understandable. I can't understand Kennedy or Yarborough, but I gave the list there to Iris, and I suggested that she have some of her gals just go and knock on these doors and ask if they would reconsider signing this thing.
Well, have they turned it down?
To my knowledge, I think they have. They either turned it down or they just haven't reacted to it. The way it was sent out,
Yes, I agree. I think that's exactly what we should do.
And especially Fulbright, because Kennedy.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't mind going over, you know, because he gave me his word in January he'd do everything he could to help.
Right. Now, another thing we've got going, and this is a little more QT, is we've got a special letter trying to get written by about 20 doves. And this is going to be basically along the same line, but again, it's going to hammer the position that we disagree with the administration's position, but we are in full concurrence with the treatment and getting a list of who you have and proper treatment and of the prisoners,
that
thing. And that's an additional letter on top of this, and this is what we're working on with Senator By's office right now.
Well, that's swell.
But again, it's just another, you know, pot
I know. Right.
Trying to get this stuff out, but I think it's crucial that we get all these guys to sign this thing.
Oh, I do too.
And
absolutely.
This is what Ross and I were doing out there about 3 weeks ago. And we just kind of went door to door to these guys, talking to them about it.
Yeah.
So, and Senator Dole, John Smith from Senator Dole's office, and Jay Berman from Senator By's office. Senator By has been very, very helpful in this.
Oh,
and,
that's great.
I think a special thanks should go to both those senators.
To Dole and By.
Yeah.
Okay. A special thank you to Dole and By probably should go. From us, do you think?
I would think so, yeah. Once the letter goes, right.
Not yet.
Right. Make sure that they finish
don't
their job.
Yeah, before we know that it's... Yeah, right.
How's everything else going?
Well, fine, I guess.
Great. I was talking with Virginia Naismith out in California, and she's having a big group of gals come over tonight, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, in her mother's home or something like that. Supposedly about 100 wives.
Uh-huh.
Meeting there, they're getting some big organization going out there as far as a lot of press and publicity type thing.
Well, that's
There's
good.
There's some real good stuff going around the country. Oklahoma, I got a call from a gal by the name of Judy Skink. I don't know if you know her.
I I don't think I do.
Governor Bartlett is having the month of August as a concern of a month for a concern of prisoners and missing for the state of Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
And they're starting a big campaign, and they're going to have a big rally and, you know, and all the pomp and circumstances. But it's a good sign, you know, where they're starting to take the ball themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's one coming out of New York City, one guy, a guy by the name of Conley, John Conley, is trying to work out of New York City.
Uh-huh.
A guy in Indiana has rented a flatbed, and he's building himself some cages and cells, and he's going to put them on the flatbed, spend $5,000, and go around to fairs.
Well, that's
so
good.
This thing is starting to catch on. It's starting to snowball now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other little organizations that are, a gal by the name of Eileen Engel out in Denver. They've really done some organizing out there.
No, I cannot.
Well, would you please hang up, and I'll call you back, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, operator.
Hello, Mr. Martin?
Yes.
Stay on the line, please.
Thank you.
Wait a minute, I think you better hang up. I think it's in your connection.
Okay, and you'll call back. Very good, thank you.
You're welcome.
Wanted to know what she could do, so I just turned her on a little bit and sent her a packet, and she just gone like hotcakes.
Listen, Tom, I want to ask you about this group of guys from here who wrote to Ross some time ago.
The five Navy captains?
Yeah, right.
Right. We've got this thing right now. Ross has been pretty busy. I'm trying to get with him yesterday. I know he just took off. He's in New York today.
Uh-huh.
But
what I thought about was I thought this John Linder was looking for somebody to do eye care on a national basis.
Oh, I see.
And what I wondered was whether or not that would be, you know, I know some of them from a long time ago. I wouldn't have recognized them, but
right.
I do know them. And
well,
that's what I wondered, whether you were interested in that sort of thing or not, or
oh,
you
yeah.
were going to suggest that they do.
Well, what we would like to suggest is just turn them on and let them go.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's our feeling that, you know, this has got to be a shotgun effect, that a snowball is beginning to start now,
uh-huh.
where there's groups all over the country, you know, uh-huh. people that are not directly related
yes,
are starting
right.
to get involved, and this is what we want to get going. So, you know, by fall, there's just a whole bunch of noise going on in this thing. And then at that time, we could possibly, you know, get a real big push in this caravan. If
yeah.
indeed at that time, you know, there's got to be, just, you know, literally millions of letters and millions of people concerned before that caravan's anything good. And that would become off a lot later, but if, even if at all, it's got to be enough interest.
Yeah, well, we're one thing we're going to have to do is send people away from that annual meeting with an immediate goal to fulfill,
right.
and I don't know what
absolutely.
It's going to be.
Absolutely. You know, I think it might be a good idea, if possible, out of that national meeting, is maybe you could have a national prisoner of war week. This might be something to work on. That might be a reason for calling everybody together and maybe to get those Air National Guard planes to get them into Washington. If that
yeah.
were the first week in October, could be, you know, concern for prisoner MIA week or something like this, and get the president to dedicate this week.
Yeah, that's
I'm sure it was.
A very frustrating one.
Well, I can imagine, because
yeah.
that seems to be the general posture now. I thought I would just give you a buzz and see if there
was
anything
gonna,
that...
Well, as a matter of fact, I was going to call you, but I just got in late last night, and we're just didn't have any significant luck. We did get met with... government officials and heads of state in most of the places, and they all agreed to make new initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
And I got one possibility out for a further meeting.
Right.
But we didn't get anything concrete.
Is there anything from your trip that you think that we independently could move on and might enjoy a bit of success and be helpful?
Not that I can think of. The thing that I'm going to... try to do is go back to Paris, perhaps. I think I may have something left behind there, but they kind of beat me before we started because they said they would, another example of American aggression, you know, they were
right.
refused to meet with.
Right.
So even though we were cleared to go to Hanoi and everything, we couldn't get to first base
mm-hmm.
on that line.
That's too bad. I was in Paris. As a matter of fact, I preceded you by about, well, I guess 5 days. I was in Stockholm at the time they announced you were going on the trip. Yes, I had some meetings over there and with non-governmental types, with a couple of amnesty people and a couple of communists and that had just come out of Hanoi, and then the same thing in Paris.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get anything dealing with those guys either. I'm a little fed up with these peace group people.
Well, one of them, the two I'm meeting with are not peace groups per se. One of them is a communist reporter who is in and out and in and out of Hanoi with great regularity.
I see.
Another is an attorney, and neither of them are affiliated directly with the peace groups
here.
Well,
anyway, you know, it might be appropriate for you to do that as a, you know, a private venture, but I don't think the government ought to recognize those people, the peace group type people, because it's obvious that doing that is hurting the International Red Cross.
Do you think the International Red Cross, did you get the readout that they're doing all they can?
Everything they can, and they assured me that they would continue to try.
What do you think would be the effect if some other neutral group, if Hanoi were to name a committee, not the International Red Cross, to come in to inspect the camps?
I don't think there's perfectly no reason. There's no reason why the International Red Cross shouldn't do it. That's their function. They've been doing it ad infinitum, you know, and they're doing it effectively in the Middle East now. And any group that Hanoi named, I would be suspect of.
Did you find any posture softening on the part of the NLF?
No.
None at all. Did you see them by chance in Moscow?
No, they wouldn't meet.
They would not meet.
And we had very good help from the Algerian government. They tried their best to, which is unusual. But
what about India?
That's got it's a cold fish there.
Yeah.
Cold fish.
That's unfortunately we have too many cold fishes around.
Yeah.
Did you find Palmer to be very inscrutable?
That guy reminds me of Charles Goodell. Do I need to say any more?
Right, you're absolutely right. He's so inscrutable, and his equations just don't equate.
His main interest in our prisoners is how much publicity Palmy gets out of, as far as I'm concerned.
I think you're absolutely right. Well, I'm hopeful that with Mr. Twee back at the table this morning and for the first meeting, that maybe some private meetings or something there will...
I got a couple hoping, too, but, well, you know, you've been at a lot longer than I have. It's, we really just did our... We were gone 25 days. We had five meetings a day on the average. Met with anybody. Met with the social. Did everything. And
did you by chance see Jean Saint-Denis in Paris?
Yes. Only Murphy. That is highly classified.
Right. Right.
That cannot come out.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. He is. I question, and I would wonder if you would, in my meetings with him. I get the impression that since Mr. Ho's death, that he has lost some of his rank.
I think so.
He still has contacts and an open door entree, of course, to Mai Van Bo and the delegation. But as far as his being able to do something, I question it with Ho's death.
I do too.
Did you by chance hear of a guy called Lacouture, Jean Lacouture, who was one of Ho's biographers?
No.
He's in Paris also.
I didn't meet him.
Right. How are things in Laos? Do you think that they're considering the prisoners and their efforts to come up with a ceasefire there between the Pathet Lao and...
That hadn't really started there yet. We met with Savannah Puma. And they still trying to negotiate to arrange a meeting with his brother. So that's all.
It's kind of frustrating.
Sure it is.
Did you by chance see Father Minger out there?
Yeah.
How's he doing?
Fine.
That's great.
Real good, yeah.
That's great. Frank, is there anything...
I wish I could have tell you something encouraging.
Well...
But the only thing I can say is that we've got some more initiatives that they promised they'd take at the governmental level, so... So I think that we'll try to keep it on that.
Well, just keep banging away. It's a great thing you're doing.
Hey, don't worry. I'm making sure that this is going to be a perpetual thing now.
That's great. When do you think...
The president and the Laird and the Rogers, I talked to all of them, and they all assured me that that's the greatest personal interest they have now.
That's great.
Yeah.
When do you think you'll get back to Paris, or does it...
I don't know. I don't know whether I get an invitation, Murphy.
Yeah.
That's what we're waiting on.
Right, right. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Because I'm not, as a governmental representative, I'm not going to go bang on their doors. You see
sure.
what I mean?
Sure.
We tried to go through intermediaries, and I figure if we can't get there through their friends, well, then we're just there's no sense in doing it because it wouldn't do any good when you got there.
But did Russia try to stay with their same line that North Vietnam calls their own shots and so
Russian?
Forth? Yes.
Essentially, although they tried too for us.
Mm-hmm.
They tried even in Laos.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Did anything new come out of this movie that Zin brought Zink or whatever his name is brought back?
There have been 15 positive identifications and 41 probables.
No new guys, though.
No new guys thus far, no.
Okay.
Now, look, some of the gals in our area here think, but you know there's nothing positive, and they're waiting for blow-ups and things like that.
What a hell of a business, huh?
Oh, yeah.
We sure fought this war the wrong way.
Yes, you're right there. You're absolutely right.
Say hello to Ross for me.
I'll do that. He'll be back in town this morning, and he wanted me to be sure and call, and I wouldn't be surprised. Are you going to be at home today?
I'll be home later on this evening, yeah. I've got, as you can imagine, a month's work of bills and stuff, and I'm trying to, you know, get moved to Florida. So we're just about to leave now to run downtown, but I will be back, and I would like to talk to him.
Very good, Frank. I'll tell him, and you can look forward to hearing from him.
Okay.
Bye now.
Start a campaign against a strong stand against the North Vietnamese position in reference to even the list of names and also the treatment of the prisoners. He said, well, Mr. Jordan, he said, we have nothing to do with that at all. That's another country, another sovereign area. And I said, are you telling me that you don't have any influence there? He said, no, I'm not telling you that. We have an embassy there, and our words are respected. And I said, well, I put him on the line. I said, would you be willing to communicate words then to them? And he said, well, Mr. Jordan, he said, I believe you should bring this up in Moscow. So listen, three things according to Ernie Lee. He said, he feels, you know, that they're a bit shocked. He says, as I am shocked that you're a union man doing that.
Right.
He said, however, I can't condone you, you know, endorse you to go there. But he said, I can give you this information that I informed you for 3 hours and talked with you about the policies concerning the intention of the Soviet Union and their activities towards subversion.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm going to give you these books. And so when I went to the embassy, you know, they gave me a couple of books. And I said, gee, this is the second group of books I've gotten today.
This is the Russians gave you books, too.
Right.
Huh.
And he said, oh. And I said, oh, yes. I'm a perfectly honest person. I want to know both sides of the story.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm a member of the SSLCIO, as you know. He said, yes, I believe you're in the construction trade. And I said, yes, I am. And he said, what did they give you? And I said, well, all of these, you know. And I opened up my brief, and I gave him, you know, a look at what I had. Now, Shin felt, before that, if I say anything about this, it will, you know, shut it right off.
Right.
Right? Well, he said, that's very interesting. He said, do you believe it? And I said, well, I haven't read it, sir. But then, same thing on the other hand, when I get your information and I go over and talk to your people, and depending upon what I get back, and come back with, if you're generally interested in peace, then that is where my campaign will be.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I find out that everything that the AFL books say is true, or that the majority of it is true, then I'm going to make the decision to go on a very line which is strictly against what you would want.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, Mr. Jordan, when you go over there, I'm sure that you will find things quite contrary to what that book says. He said, for instance, we have a union in the Soviet Union. And I said, yes, I understand that. And I said, the question I have is, how did the union man quit? Because over here, when he quit, he can go work somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to trade.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, he said, the man over there can get another education in another area and get a job. We try to keep all our people working. And the real thing is, when he quits, he's out. He has no job.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Right.
So that I'm playing the game which they play.
Right.
Pressure.
That sounds like a most interesting experience.
Well, the problem is this, and I'm going to freely admit it. This is why, you know, I spoke to Ernie. I said, Ernie, where in the hell am I going to get some help?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't know. I said, I'm fighting this thing alone. He said, well, he says, you're walking the same line. He says, I'll say that for you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, why don't you call Ross Perot's office? He said, tell him you're a working man. You're pulling all of these things out of your own pocket and what you're after.
Mm-hmm.
And this is basically it. All I'm doing is putting pressure on him.
Mm-hmm.
And if the only thing that can backfire, as far as I'm concerned, if they do give me prisoners, and they do give me the lessons, then I'm going to have to definitely come back and say, you know, I can't dismiss the fact that this is an overture by peace.
Right.
And I can't dismiss the fact that this is an act of humanitarian act.
Right.
You know?
That's definitely right.
No. When I was at the embassy, not at the consul of Moscow, again I asked the ambassador, I said, what the fuck? The American man.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him, I said, I definitely want to get two people to have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I think the American news has been fixed in a lot of areas, such as they're not looking through, they just try to sell them. I showed him an article in the newspaper, I read about me, which I had signed for a very good friend of mine, that allows me to jump either way.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, look, I'm selecting this thing, and I had one specific one, and I'll give it to you.
All right.
Article. He's a political writer for the Springfield Republican, which is a Sunday newspaper. Neil Price's name.
Uh-huh.
He's a registered Republican, I'm a Democrat,
mm-hmm.
but he's a pretty decent guy. Southampton man plans Russian trip to Congress.
Yep.
A 29-year-old unemployed sheet metal worker in Southampton hopes to be a vehicle for peace. And H. Jordan, an unannounced candidate for the Democratic nomination for Congress in the 1st Congressional District, plans to visit Russia this summer in an effort to improve Russian-American relations, in the arms race, and perhaps the Cold War. This is not a political gimmick, and I will not get...
Vyacheslav Antonov of the USSR Consul General Office in Montreal, Canada, on June 26th. We came out of the conference with a meeting of the minds. Incidentally, this man, he's a vice consul, but he's also a wheel in trade.
Mm.
I found out through a slip of the tongue down in the embassy.
Mm-hmm.
They're cute. They don't slip off. When they slip, they slip. We concluded that there is no real reason for the continuance of the Cold War and that the arms race is causing problems for both Russia and the United States. We both agreed that it is time for a fresh viewpoint. Jordan maintains that he was told the channels would be cleared to the, by the Russian embassy to permit him to speak to foreign diplomats in the foreign embassies in Russia, including that of North Vietnam, if he would accept an invitation to come to Russia to see and meet the Russian people. The invitation was extended on the condition that the people of the 1st Congressional District indicate they desire to end the arms race and the Cold War and want peace, Jordan said. Now here, I told the man in the embassy yesterday that as a result of this article, you know, after he read it, he said, Jesus, very good. And I said, well, as a result of this article, I said, the indications are that they're going so hawkish in our district that I only got 6 letters.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many I threw away.
But
the consul staff answered all of my questions directly with no evasiveness. He said, Consul Pavlov told me that he believes trade between the United States and Russia should be broadened. Now, here's one of their areas they're looking for, the AFL-CIO.
Mm-hmm.
Get into the eastern ports.
Yeah.
Okay? And cultural exchanges should be increased. He said he feels one half of the problems between the two countries could be worked out if serious discussions began. During his conversation with Consul Pavlov, Jordan said he asked the Russians for an act of peace to open the avenues for relations between the United States and Russia, suggesting assistance from the Soviet Union to help obtain the release from 60 to 100 sick prisoners of war now being held by the North Vietnamese government.
Mm-hmm.
I was told that the matter would be brought up during my trip to Russia, Jordan said. They gave no guarantees of success, but said that I would probably be listened to more than others who have tried for prisoner releases.
Mm-hmm.
He explained that communist countries do not trust millionaires or hippies, and have never been approached on the subject by a working man.
Hmm.
How do you like that as an insult here?
That's interesting, yeah.
Huh? Okay, you can see what I'm doing.
Right.
In other words, nobody succeeded before. But I'm opening up the fact of the entire United States that a working man with a family went over there in this effort.
Right.
And was refused.
Right.
You see it? Okay? And this they know, because they've said it. It's very hard for us to refuse a working man due to our philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Consul Pavlov said that the Soviet Union respects the working class, not politicians or rich, Jordan said. Further, it was suggested that as a member of the Building Trades Union, I might open the avenues with organized labor in this country, which opposes the construction of American plants in the Soviet Union for the manufacture of desperately needed consumer goods.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan said he is a hard-nosed American who puts his country first and is convinced he is not being used as a propaganda tool. We agreed... that's getting fuzzy... We agree that there can't be this split between the two countries and that there can't be any real reason for it to continue, he said. I hope to be able to overcome the ignorance and distrust that has made the Cold War possible. This is true. This is what I hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hope against hope.
Right. Right.
To satisfy the Russian prerequisite of his visit, Jordan to the Soviet Union, Jordan has enlisted the aid of the Western Mass College students in securing signatures and letters from the residents to indicate that the majority of the people in the district want peace and to win the arms race. Now, I've done that, to be honest, right?
Right.
But I haven't told them when to go out and do it.
Yeah.
Okay? And the district wants peace and then the arms race in the Cold War. The students will also raise the necessary funds. Now, that was funds to send students over, which I will do if I come back with a bit in my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
He hopes to secure enough signatures to convince the Russians that the Americans agree with him. The American Pittsfield High School graduate and a U.S. Navy veteran said he had checked with the U.S. State Department on the proposed mission and has received enthusiastic support. They told me I may have opened up doors that have not been opened by the State Department. This he did say, but he doesn't think they'll go anywhere.
Right.
Jordan said. They said that the proposed trip would not deter a damaged relations between the two countries and only asked that I go to Washington prior to the trip to Russia, which I did yesterday. Jordan is an evening student at Westfield State and other community colleges. Formerly was employed by Hamilton Standard in engineering, and his only other attempt at public office was an unsuccessful bid for elections of a selectman of Southampton last year. He is a member of the Southampton Democratic Town Committee. He is married to the former blah, blah, blah. So now you begin to see, you know, and he said this, and he, you know, he said, well, what kind of return did you get? And I said, well, I only got six letters because I think the attitude is shipping.
Right. Well, when do you plan to leave?
I'm going the 15th, and I need to talk to someone as to what avenues, what Mr. Perot said, where he got warm, where he got cold, where he got shut off. This I need to know.
Right. Well,
the other thing I need is a few bucks to help me, baby, because I'm running broke.
Well, what's your intention? I mean, as far as the prisoner is concerned, do you intend to meet with Soviet officials and literally ask them for a list?
Right.
Okay.
Now, I said yesterday at the embassy, you know, I said, what are the chances of this type of thing? Because I said, if I go over there and waste my money going over there, I said, specifically, the one thing I need to come back and be able to encourage the chances to speak in the press of this country.
Right.
I said, if I'm going over there and wasting my money, I'm going to speak, but I don't like wasting my money, so you take it from there.
Right.
Keith Brown.
Right.
So he said, Mr. Jordan, go to Russia and see what you can do.
Right.
And that's the way he left it.
This was a Russian now.
Right.
Right.
So he asked me after that, he said, have you approached the news media at all? Are you going to approach them before you go?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll approach them once more to tell them that I'm going and what I'm going for. I said, however, I said, there appears to be one thing which you well know. I said, the news is controlled by the editors, and they're Republican editors, and they're going to work for the President of the United States before they work for Mr. Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And the President of the United States is kind of freeze this thing down.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we are aware of that.
Right. Okay, let's see. Another question I have is, how long do you plan to stay over there?
5 days.
5 days. And you've got meetings set up when you get over there now?
Have I got meetings set up?
Mm-hmm.
He indicated they would be, yes.
I see. You know who with?
Haven't got the damn bug yet.
I see.
But the point in question which I made to him, I said, I don't care what level I speak to people on.
Mm-hmm.
One thing's for sure, the message will go up.
Right.
So really, I could speak to Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
The message will go up.
Right, right, right. Well, you know, as far as the position is, you know, the wives and families and whatnot on prisoners, basically what they want to do is try to get the Soviets to intercede on getting a list of who the North Vietnamese have, getting an agreement to release the second wounded, and if possible, release all the prisoners.
Right.
And Soviets indeed can do
this. I
want to
tell you
this.
A funny one. Mm-hmm. You know, when I said about prisons, he looked, you know, a bit interested, and I said, 60 to 100, enough to fill an airplane.
Yeah.
And he choked. And I said, I'm not going to be able to do anything with five or six. I'm just going to look like a regular peaceite, and you're trying to raise hell with me. Come on.
And what did he say to that?
You know?
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'm honestly going to tell you, I'm not going to look like a peaceite for five or six people, although they're very important.
Right.
But it's just going to make me look like your monkey. He said, Mr. Jordan, he said, one thing for sure, you are an American who says exactly what he means. He said, the very very fact that you sat down at the table, I shouted. You notice I didn't argue about the size or shape of it. I sat down and asked you questions. You said yes, and I fell off the chair appropriately. I hit him right off the bat. I sat down. He said, what would you like? And I said, I'd like to know the reasons for the Cold War. I'd like to know the reasons for the arms race and what you feel about ending this problem.
Right.
And then that a man almost collapsed. But I ended up with a guided tour of Expo. Dinner.
Right.
At a Bulgarian restaurant. The fortunate thing was I had a cold.
Yeah.
I couldn't taste a damn thing. And I've got a stomach like cast iron. And every, you know, the restaurant manager, when he found out why I was there, he said, you know, the Russian, I'd like them to try different foods rather than one meal.
Right.
So he brought out 5 full courses, 2 liquors, 3 different types of wine, and a liqueur. And my wife touched all of them, but she said they were really something else.
Right.
And I ate every bit of it. And the more I'd eat, the more they'd get shocked. So finally, the restaurant owner asked the Russian, you know, what type of man is this?
Right.
And the Russian asked me, the owner wants to know what type of man is this, and I answered back, I'm a working man, just like you.
Right.
And I said, when I sit down to eat, I'm hungry.
Right.
And I said, I haven't eaten for 7 hours, so I'm hungry.
Right. Okay, well, I think it's quite interesting. I think maybe you might have some success as far as meeting with the Russians. I don't know what you will have on the prisoners. I'd be anxious to hear. But is there anything else that you want in the way of information?
I need to know where the hell he went wrong.
Well, I don't know if we have gone wrong. You mean because we haven't got prisoners out yet?
Right. In other words, is there any areas where they cooled down fast?
No, not really. Offhand, I think the best thing is just the constant pressure that we're trying to apply to make it an uncomfortable situation for the North Vietnamese to get the point across that there's just hundreds and thousands and millions of Americans that are writing letters and raising arms in protest to this treatment, and that it's becoming increasingly an issue in this country, and that there's been rallies, there's starting weeks and prayers for the prisoners, and the wives have organized. There's been a lot of businesses that are starting to organize to put funds into the wives' organizations to make an issue out of this prisoner thing. And this is an increasing amount of concern. This is about exactly what we're trying to do, is to make the American people aware of this treatment.
Well, the one thing that was indicated to me at the State Department, and that man wouldn't identify himself.
Uh-huh.
He says, they're really in a quandary in one area.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm a working man, and when I come back to this country, I'm in a position to really sell them.
Right.
And he said, this, they don't quite know how to handle.
You mean the Soviets?
Right.
Right, right.
He said, they can handle a millionaire and tell him he stole from the people.
Right.
But how are they going to handle a working man?
That's true. That's true.
Now, I got a problem, man. I am short on green.
Uh-huh.
I'm hurting.
I see. Well, I don't know what we could do. I could talk to Mr. Pearl on this. He's out of town for the next 4 days. Have you tried the labor union? Have they been in the back?
They can't do it because of the fact they have to account for every one of their funds.
I see. But couldn't you go as an AFL-CIO rep?
No, I can't, because the AFL-CIO, George Meany, has taken a staunch position.
Uh-huh.
And he hasn't allowed one of their reps to come in. And certainly they wouldn't allow one of ours to go in there.
I see.
And also, he doesn't want to do it because he doesn't feel that he wants to even recognize who the hell they are.
I see.
You know, it's more his pressure.
Right. I was thinking, you know, maybe talking to somebody like Gleason or something like that, and just sit down talking with him and tell him what you told me. I think he would be extremely interested in what you had to say here.
No, I went to the top man in the department, Ernie Lee.
I see.
And Ernie sits right under Meany for foreign affairs.
Uh-huh.
In other words, I went right to the top, sat down with Ernie for 3 hours, and Ernie said, Bobby, go. Just go.
Uh-huh.
And he said, belt him.
Right.
And this is all I'm after.
Right.
Because the one reason, I spent time in the Navy, and I went through the survival school and spent a little bit of time in that prison.
Right.
And it's no fun.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah,
and I felt this was something I had to do, and something just kept pushing me and pushing
right.
me, and finally I did it.
Right, right. Okay, well, I'll pass this on, and I want to wish you the best of luck.
But I do have to know where, you know, Mr. Perrell feels, you know, that places got cold and how they get cold.
Yeah, well, as far as, you know, what got cold, again, you know, it's just that the North Vietnamese are just, you know, they're not concerned about prisoners. I think that boils down to the cold spot.
Well, they are concerned.
They sure haven't shown any evidence of it. They're starting to slowly show it, but nothing that if they were concerned about the issue.
I've got a second-class petty officer who's stationed in Paris, France.
Uh-huh.
And he's a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote him and received word from him. 2 of them on the delegation have flown to the Soviet Russia within the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just on the prisoner issue.
I would definitely say so.
Uh-huh.
I mean, why else would they be going?
Well, I don't know.
I asked to speak to men on the delegation.
Right. Oh, you mean you think that they'll be there to meet you?
Well, I don't know why else they'd be going, sir.
Uh-huh.
Because I said I don't want to talk to a consul.
Right. Right. Well, they're going to get there kind of ahead of you, aren't they? A little bit. Well, you leave the 15th. Right.
See, they didn't know when exactly I was going.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, that sounds... But, you know, to say where we went wrong,
I'm not being a wise guy.
No, I realize...
Cold-hearted and calculating.
Yeah, I realize what you mean. But it's difficult to say, you know, where we went wrong or where we went right. What we're trying to do is get those guys out, and we're trying every effort possible.
Now, one thing I have to ask, which is a cold, hard fact.
Sure.
I don't want Mr. Perot at any time to acknowledge what I'm doing.
Fine.
And I'll acknowledge it after I come back.
Right.
Because if it would injure anything, this man specifically said to me, that they revolted against millionaires, why should they talk to him?
Right. Well, right now, I'll have to get with Mr. Perot and just see if he'd be willing to do some funding on this. We have normally been doing this type of thing. I think I probably could assure you, if you brought some prisoners out, though, we would take care of all your expenses from that standpoint. You know, if you brought 60 prisoners out, we'd take care of getting them out and yourself and take care of your expenses over there.
Well, the problem is they can't see where the money comes from, and I'll tell you why.
Uh-huh.
If I get prisoners out, I can never say, because I stand a possibility to get more.
Absolutely. That would be perfectly understandable. In fact, we'd be disappointed if it was any other way, realizing how they deal.
They're terrible.
Right. They sure are.
Let's put it that way. They're terrible, and that's saying it lightly.
Right. But would that be an acceptable arrangement, something like that?
Well, the problem is I'm down to the last $2,000 I got.
Uh-huh.
And I just spent $900 of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening now. The indication is if I have to go back over there, where the hell am I?
Right.
And I just spent the money I'm going to college with. I'm a full-time student right now. So there's the problem.
Right.
And I'm honest about it.
Right. Well, I'll pass it by and just see what we can do. And I'll get back to you. I sure appreciate the information, though.
All righty.
Thank you so much.
Righto. Thank you for the time.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Hello?
Mr. Martin?
Yes?
Hello, this is Mr. Archer's secretary.
Yes?
Ms. Archer requested that I read you this cable.
Very good.
Which says, Wednesday, 2 September is North Vietnam's Independence Day, followed on Thursday, 3 September, by the first anniversary of Ho Chi Minh's death. Stop. Out checking POW release, But military sources tell us they expect some sort of show on those 2 days, as yet no indication of what, Rosenbaum.
Very good.
Okay, would you like me to repeat any of it or all?
No, that's fine. I think I have it, and thank Nick so very much for us, and if we hear anything might further clarify, tell him we'll be in touch with him immediately.
Okay, certainly will. And did you still want to speak to Mr. Archer? Should I have him return your call personally?
No, I don't need to speak to him unless he gets additional information.
Okay, fine. Would you like me to forward the cable to you?
If you would, please.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.